Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio, and luckily this week my co-host didn't have any issues calling in.
Start spreading the news.
So that, of course, means Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how are you?
All right. No technical glitches so far, John, which is a good thing.
Yes, hopefully. So if you'd like to call into the podcast, just like Stu did, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturday, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward any message you could possibly have for Stu along. So go ahead and do that. So let's see, what else is, I think that's it. That's all we need to do, right? So we can continue along. So what's going on?
Well, nothing exciting much in the world of sports except the Blackhawks losing in the last tenth of a second in overtime last night.
So, yeah, you know, unfortunately, I did not get to see that, but they did discuss it a little bit on the radio, and I can't remember the last time that actually happened. Can you?
No, that was legitimate too. I mean, they showed the replay, and it was a good goal. And just a minute or two before that, in overtime, the Blackhawks had a great chance to win, but their shot bounced off the post. Then Tampa rushed down to the other side, and their shot bounced off the top of the post, the center of the goal, and then they finally won it with a tenth of a second to go. But, hey, that's their first point of the year against Tampa.
So, yeah, no, that's that's at least one positive there from the game itself. I know I did see some other Blackhawk news as Brent Seabrook officially announced his retirement today. So that was, I guess kind of surprising. I don't think he had been playing very much.
He hasn't played at all since 2019, actually. That was the last time he played.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years ago, so it wasn't a big surprise.
What do you mean,
he had accumulated
or something
all those injuries.
Like that? Yeah. So, I remember he had had a hip or something that he had, and basically, you know, that was the end of it for him. But, you know, even so, he had a nice, long, solid career. I don't expect him to end up in the Hall of Fame anytime soon, but, you know, he did well, I think.
He did, and he had a long 15-year career in the NHL. I believe all the time was with the Blackhawks, too. Which is very, very unusual.
Yes.
Very unusual today.
Yeah, you know. And I mean, at one point in time, you know, when the Blackhawks were at their height and always competing for the Stanley Cup, it's probably safe to say that him paired with Duncan Keith was probably the best defensive duo in the NHL.
Yeah, they were two hard-nosed players for sure. And those kind of players, you will not see a tougher players in the any other sport than those two guys.
So, yeah, you know, definitely. And, you know, he is, you know, Seabrook was 35. So, you know, just one of those things. And, you know, the interesting thing is he's still signed for, two more seasons. So it'll be interesting to see how the Blackhawks handle that against the salary cap. So, you know, who knows?
If he announces retirement, does that mean that they're no longer obligated to pay him anything for those 2 years remaining on his contract?
You know, I would guess that that's probably something they worked out before he announced his retirement. In general, that's how most teams do this. You know, because the interesting thing is he has, you know, the definition in the NHL is they call it a full no-move clause. It's basically like having a no-trade clause. You know, he can't be, you know, shipped to the minors. He can't be traded to another team, obviously, without his permission. So I don't know how that affects what the Blackhawks can do with that salary number. You know, that's, you know, I'm not wonderful. You know, you and Dan are the accountants. I'm not great with the numbers. So, I don't know how that'll actually affect them, but I'm sure they've probably got a way around it.
I'm sure it'll be a classy move on the Blackhawks' part if they did pay at least a portion of that 2 years remaining on his contract.
Yeah, and, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all, like I said, if they've already worked something out and we just don't know about it. So,
right, and Yeah, since we're talking about the Blackhawks, what has been very concerning, and we emailed about this, is the status of Jonathan Toews. And I read a couple of reports, and they said discount all the rumors you've heard about his injury or what's the matter with him, but they didn't disclose what those rumors were. Have you seen anything about that?
No, you know, to be fair, I haven't looked as of late, you know, just because I got a little frustrated there. And, you know how it is with the NHL. They don't like to give away any type of injury information when it comes to, you know, players. But, yeah, you would think there would be something out there.
Yeah, and you're hoping it's an actual legit injury, and you're always worried about something really serious that's wrong with him, and I wish that issue would be addressed at least, and so we would kind of rest easy about it.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, the oddity about it is they said that it's an illness, not an injury, but they said it wasn't COVID. It didn't have anything to do with COVID-19. So you're just kind of in limbo there. I mean, there's obviously so many other things that it could be, you know, and I mean, I'm not going to guess at all what's going on with him. You know, you just got to kind of hope that whatever it is, he makes a full recovery. And, you know, even if he can't come back this year, you know, maybe he's okay to come back next year.
You always get concerned when it's an undisclosed illness because you fear for the worst, but we can only hope that it's not that serious and that he will return to the NHL at some point in time.
You know, well, you know, and then the other Blackhawk we're still waiting to see this year is Kirby Dach. You remember he had, I'm trying to remember if he broke the wrist or whatever he did, but he had to have wrist surgery. You know, and his timetable was 4 to 5 months. So, you know, that may be one of those situations where he returns just in time to help with the playoffs.
Yeah, and he's a talented young player. They could certainly use him, and they have exceeded expectations this season so far. They've only lost 7 games all season, excluding the games in which they lost an OT but secured a point. And they've played about, 25 games or so, would you say? So that's a pretty good, impressive record.
Yeah, they've definitely been one of the surprise teams. That just checking here, they played 24 games. They play their 25th tonight. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, they're currently in fourth place in their division. So the you know, and they're in a pretty tough division. You know, anytime you got Tampa Bay in that division, you know, Carolina is playing well. The other team in Florida that people aren't really talking about, the Panthers, have been fantastic. So it's, you know, it's a tight division there, and I don't know how, or, you know, how the NHL is going to do the playoffs, you know, if we're back to normal or if they're going with kind of the system they used last year. But, you know, the Blackhawks are looking like a playoff team, and, you know, they luckily got in last year. They probably didn't even deserve to get in, but they did manage to win a series last season.
It was a surprise.
You know, you got to think with the way they're playing this year, they have a chance to, you know, maybe win another series or maybe even two if their goaltending stays hot.
Yeah, you would think so. And as you mentioned, they are certainly one of the surprise teams in the NHL this season. And another team, I'm not sure if they're a surprise, but they are playing awfully well right now. One of their best seasons in a long, long time is Toronto, one of the old six teams. Toronto Maple Leafs are having a tremendous season so far.
So, yeah, you know, I know Toronto, Tampa Bay, and Colorado were the three hot picks to win the Stanley Cup this year. You know, and Tampa Bay and Toronto have not disappointed. Colorado has had some, you know, big-time injury concerns. They went without their best player, Nate MacKinnon, for a really long stretch. They're still doing pretty well, though. They've played 20 games. They have 25 points, and they're hanging on in third out in the Honda West Division. Remember, all the divisions are named this year, so that's kind of humorous. But, you know, whatever you got to do to make up for those fans not being there. So
exactly right. And, you know, it's unlike the NBA. It's really a crapshoot as to who's going to wind up winning the Stanley Cup this season. Although, if I were to make any kind of a selection, I would say that Toronto, to me, seems like the team to beat so far. But anything can happen in the NHL, and usually does.
So, yeah, you know, and that's just such the weird thing about it. You know, I mean, like, you know, we know in the NBA when you get those 1-8 matchups that the 8th seed is never going to win. You know, I think it's happened twice the entire time they had it. You know, they said they've seeded the playoffs like that. In the NHL, this is one of those things that almost happens on a regular basis.
Yes, more than
you
norm.
Know, all you need is a hot goaltender. You know, you get a hot goaltender going into the playoffs, and all of a sudden you are rolling.
Yeah, the NHL is notoriously difficult to pick, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of money on the various gambling sites for the playoffs when the NHL playoffs starts this season.
Yeah, you know, well, I guess depending on what else there is to bet on, you know, that can tie up the gamblers, but they, you know, they probably will find something to do as always.
Yeah, well, legalized gambling is really seems to be here to stay now, and you see all these commercials now on TV about the various gambling sites that are available, so it's no longer bookmaking or going to Las Vegas to make bets any longer.
So, yeah, it has changed so much. You know, with just the way it, you know, it used to be, you know, and you know, and obviously the internet has a lot to do with that, but you know, we'll have to, you know, have to see. But I did want to get you while we are talking about this. The Blackhawks have two more games against Tampa Bay. They have tonight, and then they have Sunday afternoon. I'm sure that's an NBC game. So we're going to lock your hockey picks in here early. You got the Blackhawks bouncing back tonight. You know, Tampa Bay is on a six-game winning streak, counting last night's victory. So what happens tonight?
Well, I am predicting a Tampa win tonight, although I predict an upset on Sunday. And the Blackhawks will win the game on Sunday.
All right. So we will get those posted in here. And we will jump to your other fantastic picks later. Unfortunately, you did struggle quite badly last week. You dropped three out of your four picks, but you're still 18-13 overall. So you're in a good spot there. So we'll see how the rest of this goes.
It wasn't one of my better weeks last week.
and we did have what you would consider, I guess, if you were a fan of the NBA or if your team was a title contender, we had some pretty sizable NBA news. You know, the Detroit Pistons announced, oh, God, it was probably a week or two ago, that they would no longer play Blake Griffin as they would look for trade opportunities. Well, due to his contract and the fact that he was owed $40 million next season, they were never able to find a trading partner. So today they came to an agreement to buy out the remainder of his contract. And as soon as he clears waivers, he will become an unrestricted free agent and sign wherever he wants to. Now, there already are some teams in the mix. The Brooklyn Nets, Golden State Warriors, Miami Heat, and Portland Trail Blazers are all already in the market for his services. Do you see one of them as the front runner to land him, or do you got him coming here to Chicago with the Bulls?
I don't think he will come to Chicago, but hasn't he been a disappointing player? I mean, it's sometimes during his career he's been solid, but other times he's been disappointing too. So I'm kind of surprised that so many teams are willing to take a chance on this guy, and you know he's not going to come cheap either.
No, well, you know, the interesting thing that I saw is teams are no longer looking at him as that superstar player he used to be when he was with the Clippers. So it will be really interesting to see how or what kind of offers he gets. What apparently a lot of teams like him as, and you notice the names I mentioned there, they're looking at him, you know, in the new NBA term as a small ball center, you know, because teams like to go with those smaller three-point shooting lineups now, and they think he could fit the bill as that kind of guy.
Well, that's a possibility. As you pointed out, though, it's certainly not going to be a signing as a bona fide superstar-type player. Those days are long past him, but he might be able to fit in well with one of those teams if he stays healthy.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you got to think he's still capable of getting you 15 to 18 points per game. I know his numbers were just 12.3 this year. But, you know, he is a 20-plus, 21.4 career-a-game scorer. So, I think with the right team and, you know, in today's NBA, I think 15 to 18 would be expected of him. And, I'm sure a team would be thrilled if he could grab the 8.7 rebounds per game he averaged through his career. I think those would be perfect numbers for him. It'll just be kind of interesting to see where he thinks he is and what kind of money he's going to look for.
Yeah, that's going to be the critical moment for him. Of course, he's going to make some nice change in the buyout, but they certainly aren't going to sign him for his rebounding prowess, are they?
No, obviously, they're looking at him to be a second unit scorer. So, we'll have to see how that kind of works out. But yeah, who knows what you'll actually get out of him. I mean, especially now that he's been sitting for weeks at a time,
knows? When he's hot, he could be a very prolific 3-point shooter, but what about his consistency? That's one concern that I've always had about him. He could be hot, and then he could have a cold streak too. And are they willing to take a chance with that happening?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously there's going to be teams out there that will. You know, I mean, you can see there are already teams lining up to try to procure his services. So, you know, we'll see how it, you know, how it goes. But, you know, again, you know, in the right situation, I think he can be successful. He can no longer be the number one scoring option on your entire team. But, you know, he could easily carry a second unit somewhere, you know, somewhere down the road.
Well, Brooklyn certainly looks like they're going to be one of the top teams in the East, and that might be a nice addition for them. Might give him some depth,
yeah, you know,
if he's playing well and stays healthy.
You know, and you've got to think at this point in his career, he's probably looking to win a title before he packs it in. So, you know, he and Brooklyn obviously has really good odds of that. So maybe they end up being the number one target, you know, or the number one pick in his mind. You know, because the other teams, you know, Golden State, you know, they'll probably get in the playoffs, but I don't know if they're a competitor right now. You know, Miami did go to the finals last year, and they're getting healthy finally, but I don't know if they're there. And then Portland in the West, I don't think they're competing with the Lakers or the Clippers. Do you?
No, they're a pretty decent ball club, but I don't think they're in that top echelon of teams in the West. And there are some other teams that are probably better than them also. I could think of one or two off the top quite easily. So I'm wondering, though, would he prefer to play in the West or in the East? Or would that make any difference for him?
Yeah, you know, I guess we're going to find out. You would think at this point it wouldn't matter, but, you know, again, you never know. So,
yeah, if I were a betting man, I would say maybe Brooklyn has the inside track on getting him, and that would be a nice addition for them, and I think they would maybe be the number one seed now in the East. Of course, they have to fight it out with Philadelphia and Milwaukee.
Definitely. So, but while we're on the NBA, this brings us to your third prediction. As you know, your favorite event in the NBA is this Sunday, I believe, the All-Star Game. The over/under is 308.5 for total combined points. You got the game going over or under?
Way over, way, way over. No question about it. I was thinking of a final score, for example. I was thinking about like, oh, maybe I shouldn't use the word like. I'm not a teenager anymore. I'm not a Valley State person. I was thinking possibly a 189-184 game might sound a little more logical to me.
Yeah, you know, hey, that you could be right on the number there. Who knows with the way that goes, and we'll just kind of see. So
I know you're looking forward to seeing that game and all the great defense in that game, especially.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is definitely my favorite thing. You know, oddly, I do still enjoy the skills challenge, but the game itself just doesn't have any appeal to me whatsoever.
I can't imagine them getting much of a rating for that game.
Well, you know, they don't get much of a rating for any of their games anymore.
No.
Why would this one be any different?
Yeah.
So.
Well, they might. Yeah, maybe in the finals of the NBA, if it's a competitive final with some top names in the final game, they might finally get something decent, although it's not going to be spectacular by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're not doing the numbers they used to when the NBA was kind of at what I guess turned out to be its heyday, and we didn't even know it. So, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see. I mean, I'll try to catch the skills competitions. I think if I remember correctly, one is going to be before the game and the other two are going to be at halftime, I think is how they have it set up. But with it being a 7 o'clock start here locally for me, it may be too late for me to even get to see those, being that it's a Sunday.
You might be able to squeeze in the half at least, but that's about it. But I don't think you'll be quite interested in watching the half anyway.
Yeah, no, like I said, all I want to see is the skills competition. I don't care about any of the other, you know, other stuff they have going on or, you know, the game itself. I could care less about, you know, to be fair, sometimes the introduction is the best part of the game.
Well, don't get me started on the introductions. I hate to say it, when you say introductions, I think to myself, wrestling introductions, which can be longer than the actual match. But that's another story.
So, yeah, and, you know, I was looking for, like, a timetable. You know, and I did want to ask, are you picking Zach LaVine to win the three-point shot contest?
I think it'll be respectable. I don't see him winning it. But it'll be close. Put me out for Zach making a good showing but not winning it.
Yeah, I think he would have a better chance of winning the dunk contest if he was entered in that, but unfortunately...
I think he was opting out the season for that, wasn't he, anyway?
Just one of those things, you know, he apparently didn't want to do it this year for whatever reason. And, you know, I get it. You know, a lot of times you don't want to be seen as just a dunker. So, you know,
he performed well for you in the last game they played. He played against New Orleans, though, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah, he fortunately, you know, good for him that he performed better. Unfortunately for me, you know, as I mentioned to you in one of our emails, I had a player get scratched late from a West Coast game, and I was unable to replace him in my lineup. And it ended up costing me because all I needed was about 8 points, which wouldn't have been a problem, and I would have got, you know, at least gotten my money back. But I didn't know he had been scratched, so, you know, just kind of like whoops.
Yeah, that was a West Coast selection on your part, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually, I had Kelly Oubre in the game from the Golden State Warriors, and they had a 9 o'clock start. So, you know, and it was just kind of like, oh, okay. And, you know, I woke up, you know, and after I saw the LaVine stuff, I was like, oh, okay, great. You know, I probably at least got my money back. So I went in and looked, and it was just kind of like, oh, crap, they took him out. What happened? So,
yeah. Unfortunately, with your schedule, when you make a selection like that for a West Coast game, these things can always come back to haunt you.
Yeah, you know, it is the one thing, you know, unfortunately, you can't really do anything about. I mean, it's just breaks of the game there. And, you know, if I was wagering more money, it would have probably bothered me, but I mean, I'm only putting a nickel on these games, and you know, I do still like to win. It's just, you know, it's a nickel. I'm okay that I didn't get my nickel back.
Right.
I'll just have to make it up again. So.
Well, that's aggravating. What also probably is aggravating is that if one of the top players is scheduled to play in the game and you put him in your lineup, and then the coach decides, well, I think he's entitled to a rest game now. I'm not going to play him tonight. That also has to be most annoying, last-minute decision like that.
You know, that's definitely worse than what happened. You know, Oubre, I believe, was actually injured, and he needed the night off. So, or they were reporting him as being injured. So you never know with these, but, you know.
Did they say if it was an upper body injury or a lower body injury? Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah,
they only have in the NHL, right?
Yeah, I actually didn't even look. You know, I just kind of was like, ah, crap, he didn't play. You know, I was like, oh, well. So.
Well, financially, it wasn't too bad of a loss, at least. So.
No, you know, again, like I said, if it would have been serious, you know, money or something like that, I would have had a much bigger issue with it. But I'm, you know, I'm okay with, you know, losing just the nickel. And like I said, I'll have to make it up on the NASCAR race this weekend. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, as I know you enjoy the NASCAR, but that's one sport I've never gotten into. Although I do watch on the G Channel, as I mentioned to you, the horse racing, which goes, I can see so many different races in the course of one evening. Thoroughbreds and harness racing and on and on and on. And it's something to surf at least between breaks of a ball game, if you're watching a ball game and you know there's going to be a commercial, you can always switch over there and watch a horse race.
Yeah, no, I get a kick out of that. You know, I watch actually quite a bit of that. Unfortunately, I never pick the winner, but I do get a kick out of coming across the races. And, you know, I know it's called – it's funny because I get it on three or four different channels, and I think it's called something different on every channel.
Yeah, I get G1 and G2, although lately when I try on there, this is the same horse race for either channel I get. At one time, they would show a different race on the other channel. Now it's just the same thing, the same feed.
You know, it was so, you know, but yeah, I enjoy watching that, you know, when there's, you know, nothing else on, I catch a couple races or, you know, just, you know, whatever's going on, you know, if I catch one in between commercial or something like that, I like to pick a horse and see how he does. But unfortunately, I like the long shots too much to ever be a really good horse bettor. So
I have noticed one thing, as I told you before. I used to like to go out to harness racing in my youth, and boy, I noticed that the average time of a race now is at least 6 or 7 or 8 seconds faster than it did when I was going out there. I mean, if they broke 2 minutes, it was a big deal. Now they go a minute 54, a minute 52. They're a lot faster now than when I went out to the harness racing.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, and oddly, I'm sure there's even some places where there are people there to actually watch the horses run. So
yeah, sometimes I hear crowd noise, but I'm not sure. They never show the fans in the stands. Even when before the pandemic started, they never seemed to show that, except if it's a national telecast like the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, or the Belmont. But on the G Channel, I don't ever remember seeing them switching the cameras to the fans in the stands watching the races.
Yeah, no, you can tell it's a very stripped down production. Basically, it's just the camera on the horses, and you follow the horses. So
yeah, that's it.
The multiple views, and yeah, if you're betting on the race, that's all you want, anyways. You don't care who's in the crowd or any of that stuff. So, All right, well let's jump into the NFL here, because, you know, locally, obviously the Bears are apparently in desperate need of a quarterback, and now they have another option, as it was announced today that the Washington football team has released Alex Smith. Now, oddly, you know, every headline I read for this article would make you seem like, you know, and I know I get that every media outlet hates the Washington football team because they used to be the Redskins and their owner is a schmuck, but this was something Alex Smith actually wanted. The article I read, he met with Ron Rivera earlier, and Smith actually requested to be released, and Washington did that for him. So he's now on the free agent market, and, you know, while I doubt he's a good fit in Chicago because their offensive line is an embarrassment, you've got to add him into the mix because they need something. So what do you think of Smith maybe being the Bears quarterback?
I don't know too much about Smith, but correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he have a horrific injury a couple of seasons ago? I mean, really, like threatening his career, a very, very serious leg injury. Or am I thinking of somebody, or am I thinking of somebody else?
No, he was the guy. He was comeback player of the year last year. Because, you know, I mean, he missed the entire 2019 season. He had, I believe, 15 surgeries on his leg. And at one point, they originally thought he was going to lose it. So just imagine, he was able to come back and play in 8 games for the Redskins last year. And actually, he was the reason they got into the playoffs.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, he was, you know, he played very well for them. You know, again, not a great team. I believe they were below 500, but their division was so bad they got in. You know, and then, and oddly, the way it ended up working out, they ended up being the toughest team for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to beat in the playoffs, even though Smith was injured and unable to play in that game. So, he threw 6 touchdowns and 8 interceptions in his 8 games. He was sacked 22 times, but he did complete 66.7% of his passes. So, you know, in the right situation, I'm sure as long as you could protect him, he could be a definitely a quality quarterback for some team. I just don't think it's Chicago.
I would be very reluctant to secure him for Chicago. I think back about that injury, as we just, you mentioned how 15 surgeries on it, and he's if he gets hurt again, I mean, his career is probably done. And I could think of a few times when the Bears players haven't protected the quarterback very much, and he was sacked badly. And if this happens to him, he's, you know, I shudder to think of what could happen. I don't think he's a good fit for the Bears.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I'm not sure how many people remember this, but if you go all the way back to 2005, Smith was the number one pick in the draft. The 49ers chose him over Aaron Rodgers. So,
That's another thing about Smith. He's a little too old. What is he, 35, 36?
Yeah, he would probably. I didn't see his age while I was looking, but let me see if I can find it real quick here as I go back. He was born in 84, so
37.
30. Yeah, he'll be 37 in May. You know, and you also have to wonder if maybe, you know, it's possible he came back and proved what he wanted to prove by playing last year, and he may walk away. So.
It's very possible, and I've got a player for a quarterback for the Bears, and he's about maybe 4 or 5 years younger, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, never going to happen.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, you're saying, right?
Well, you know, the unfortunate thing is, like, this is what I'll say. Any team in the Bears situation, okay, you can throw in any team that is a non-playoff team and multiple players away from being a playoff team. If you trade for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, which would definitely improve your team, the quantity of what you have to give up to get them eliminates you from being able to build a playoff team around them. I mean,
yeah,
what do you think they're going to have to give up to get a Russell Wilson? 4 number ones plus?
Yeah, that's the catch-22 situation that the Bears have found themselves in because of what they did a few years ago. And that's a very valid point. And can't you think of I'm thinking about this. One time for the Bears, a unknown fifth-round draft choice quarterback turns out to be a superstar. I mean, it's happened to other teams, hasn't it? Why doesn't it happen to the Bears one time? Can't they get lucky once?
You know, you would think somewhere down the road they would have, but, you know, it never, you know, just never really fell into their lap like that. You know, who knows? Maybe this is the year, or, you know, maybe they'll find somebody somewhere.
Yeah, like you said, Aaron Rodgers was a good selection, but I don't think he was that high in the draft. Well, maybe he was pretty high in the draft. What about Tom Brady? Wasn't he, way down the line as a selection?
Remember, Wilson himself was a third-round pick because he was supposed to be too short. You know, Drew Brees went in the second round. I believe Aaron Rodgers was the 25th or 26th pick in the first round.
Right.
You know, a lot of teams passed on him. Through the years, you know, Joe Montana was a third-round pick. You know, I mean, Montana's considered probably the second-best quarterback ever, and he was a third-round pick. So you can find these guys, and that's what makes me laugh. You know, Todd McShay's new mock draft came out today, and the first four picks are quarterbacks. And he has teams trading up to get these guys. And in all honesty, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen, because all of a sudden there's so much interest on these young quarterbacks that, again, I mean, you know, the Jaguars, okay, I understand you need a quarterback. Why are the Jets taking a young quarterback when they have one? That makes no sense to me. Build around the kid you have and see if you can win. You know, then he's got the Panthers trading up to 3 to get a quarterback. They just signed Teddy Bridgewater. Why are you doing this? You know, and then Atlanta at 4, okay, you want to take Matt Ryan's successor because he's 36 or 7 as well. I'm okay with that. Let the kid sit a year or two. Okay, but a couple of these just don't make sense.
Well, how have his selections, his predictions been in years past? Has he been accurate?
All these mock drafts suck. None of these are any good. You should actually just kind of try to do one once. I did one time, and if I was lucky, I may have gotten 3 of the first round picks correct. You know, I mean, it's just, because you don't know what teams are thinking. Just because you think they need something doesn't mean they're going to pick it.
No. Well, certainly the Bears have to make some kind of decisions regarding that, because right now their starting quarterback is looked pretty dismal last season.
Yeah, you know, but you wonder, you got to remember, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. You got to remember, or wonder if they could protect him, would he be more successful? You know, because like Mitchell Trubisky could at least move. You know, he could get out of the pocket and run if he needed to. Nick Foles isn't that guy. You have to protect him. So that immediately comes to mind to me that when that 20th pick rolls around, they need an offensive lineman. Either that or they've got to find one in free agency that can add to this line so they can protect a quarterback.
That would certainly they can get that for sure.
You know, I mean, you can look at the – you know, just go back to the Super Bowl. Who's considered the best quarterback in the NFL? Well, Patrick Mahomes is. How did he do with missing two starting offensive linemen?
That's a good point, but I don't think he was 100% physically, though, during that game.
No, but even so, would it have mattered with the way he was protected?
Probably not.
He was running
for his life. Well, you're talking about Nick Foles not getting the protection, but even when when the Bears protected him, there were many instances when he was adequately protected, and he still didn't play well. So I don't have too much faith in this guy.
Yeah, you know, but I would rather take him over giving up my draft capital to move up and take some kid that now I can't protect. You know, I'm going to throw some kid in that I moved up to the 10th pick to get, and now he's going to run for his life just like Mitchell Trubisky had to do, and look how that turned out.
Yeah, yep.
So, you know, my guess is
have a lot of decisions to make, that's for sure.
You know, Trubisky may end up signing somewhere, you know, as a backup with a team that's going to be able to groom him. And, you know, he may eventually turn into a decent, you know, NFL quarterback. You're not going to do it in Chicago. And, I mean, what confidence do we have that the next guy the Bears bring in, they're going to do any better with?
No, historically the Bears have just had a terrible time in selecting quarterbacks, and even when they make good selections, well, this is years ago, of course, they don't give a guy a chance, and they trade him after a season, as in Bobby Lane, for example, comes to mind.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they, you know, and I mean, you know, they're not the only team that is in this situation, and you know, it's understandable that this happens. I mean, you know, they were talking about Denver taking another quarterback. I think they've drafted quarterbacks in like 3 out of the last 4 years. So, you know, you think a team would be smart and want to know what they have before they just continue to stockpile these guys, but you know, it's just the way it works out. And I mean, the funniest thing to me is listening to these quote unquote experts talk about these teams. You would think that almost every team needs a quarterback. You know, apparently, even though Jimmy Garoppolo took the Niners to the Super Bowl just a few years ago, apparently San Francisco needs a new quarterback. You know, Jared Goff all of a sudden can't play quarterback, even though the Rams went to the Super Bowl a few years ago. You know, Kirk Cousins, who has a history of getting teams into the playoffs, all of a sudden can't play quarterback, and the Vikings need to trade him. You know, do they honestly think that, you know, if you plug in one of these young guys, you're going to win?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is that the so-called experts aren't all that expert because they concentrate on changing quarterbacks, and I'm wondering if just to get their name in press or think that they're an expert and they really know what they're talking about, when most of the time they just don't.
So yeah, you know, I just don't. You know, I don't understand the need behind every team. You know that well, they have to move up and get a quarterback. Why? You know, I mean, how many quarterbacks that, you know, weren't superstars have been able to manage games and lead teams to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, quite a few. Yeah, you need someone adequate. You need someone adequate, at least. You don't have to have a superstar quarterback, someone that can actually do a good job of running the team and plays a reasonably solid game.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you get an accurate quarterback that doesn't turn the football over, and you've got a chance to compete in the NFL. It's just how it works. You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, everybody wants Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. Well, those guys don't come along all that often. So, you know, and you can't force, you know, we can't force Trevor Lawrence to be the next, you know, whoever he turns out to be. You know, could he be Aaron Rodgers? Sure. You know, definitely. Could he also be Mitchell Trubisky? Well, of course. You know, I mean, who knows?
And remember that Aaron Rodgers had a few subpar seasons, and was it because of the offensive line not being up to par that year?
Yeah, well, I don't remember. And, you know, you also have to remember, Rodgers had a few years to sit and learn. These kids no longer get that. You immediately go into the lineup, whether you're ready or not. So.
Yeah, he sat on the bench for quite a while, didn't he, before he started to play.
Might have been see that he sat before before they decided to move on from Brett Favre.
Yeah, it was several years, if I remember correctly.
You know, and you know, I know you remember. I know a lot of, you know, people don't. You know, especially younger people. That used to be the way. You drafted a quarterback, and he sat for a minimum of 1 year before he was even looked at as a starter. So, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, that's, you know, that's interesting.
Yeah, you think they would groom the quarterbacks nowadays similar, but that doesn't hold anymore.
You know, and you know, like even now, you know, everybody is super high on this Trey Lance who plays at North Dakota State, which is, I believe, a Division III school, and he hasn't played a game in, I believe somebody said today, over 400 days because they canceled their season due to COVID. But Todd McShay's draft has him going number 4. I've seen a lot of other drafts that have him going 10 or 11. So it's going to be like, okay, that's going to be a bit of a reach for a kid who hasn't played.
You would think that would be a very risky selection for a team, wouldn't you? Very, very risky.
Yeah, you know, unless it's for a team like Atlanta who has Matt Ryan and they don't need this kid to play right away. You know, if they took him at 4, that wouldn't – you know, while I don't think he deserves to go there, I don't think he's the fourth guy. But I would be okay with that because he could sit behind Matt Ryan and learn the game. But if he goes someplace, you know, like if the Bears move up to take him or, you know, any other team makes that move, you're really going to be reaching here. You know, and again, I mean, this guy could turn out to be the next Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we don't know. But there are so many questions that you just can't answer with this, but yet you got to move up to get him. You got to go get this guy. Okay, why? Tell
That's
me why.
That's a good question. That's a good question. And he hasn't played in a long time, and has he ever played against first rate competition either? When there was a normal season.
No, he's only played in Division III. He's at the same school Carson Wentz went to.
Yeah, well, sometimes these guys have innate talent anyway, and they can become a solid NFL player, but it's still a risky move, no matter how you slice it.
Yeah, you know, and again, I mean, you do find these guys, you know, here and there. They, you know, they've made their way through and, you know, all those other type of, you know, deals, but you just wonder, you know, again, you're looking at a, you know, a kid that a team is going to risk its future on. And all of a sudden, what, you know, I mean, look at where the Eagles are now. You know, Carson Wentz did help get him to a Super Bowl. There's no doubt about that. But in the end, he washed out.
That's true. Very true.
So
I don't see this kid. I don't see this kid going in the top 4, and I'm wondering if he will make it in the first round, but very late in the first round. And what are your thoughts about that?
You know, if teams are actually as panicked for quarterbacks as everybody seems to think they are, he's definitely going to end up in the top 10 because some team is going to end up trading up to get him. If they're smart and they sit and they wait like they really should do and not give away, you know, what their goofy, you know, what these goofy experts think they should, then he's, you know, he's going to be a later round, first round pick by a team that knows they can put him on the bench and develop him for a year or two.
Well, that would be logical. That would be a smart thing to do.
You know, or a team, you know, or there's a team out there that trades back in late into the first round if he's still there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they go, okay, well, we can jump back in and get him at 25, 26, something like that. You know, that would make sense. But unfortunately, you know, just like the Bears panicked when the 49ers convinced them that they needed to get up to number 2 to draft Trubisky, there's probably going to be a team out there that jumps the gun and moves up to 7, 8, 9, 10 if this kid is still sitting around and overpays get him. And then it adds even more pressure to this kid who's might not be prepared to do this.
No, exactly right. And I have noticed in years past when the so-called experts make their selections, usually they're pretty similar in what they pick, 1 through 10, for example. Have you ever noticed who you think does the better job of making these predictions and is actually accurate year after year after year in his selections?
Yeah, you know, I think out of all of them, you know, Mel Kiper Jr. is probably still the best. You know, I get that from time to time he can come off like an arrogant ass on television, but he seems to be really good at his job, and that's important. I mean, I'm not looking to hang out with the guy. I just want him to kind of tell me what's going on with the draft and, you know, give me some information on these players. You know, and he definitely does that. So, he seems to be the guy. And, you know, he's not fanatical. Like, I saw the new thing this year is a lot of these guys, you know, this team is going to trade up, and they're predicting this team and this team. He doesn't do a lot of that. There's a few here and there where he'll say, oh, yeah, look for this team to move up. But for the most part, he plays it pretty straight, and he doesn't go crazy, you know, because if these quarterbacks are going to go 1 through 4, like Todd McShay says, there's going to have to be at least one or maybe two trades for that to happen.
Yeah,
and
exactly
that's
right.
A rarity for two teams to move up into the top five like that. So I wonder.
Well, I have to check on the his predictions for this year's upcoming draft. Now, I'm trying to remember the date of the NFL draft. Do you remember off the top?
Oh, you know, I just saw it the other day because they were talking about, you know, it's still set up to where it starts on Friday. Let me see if I can find it here really, really quick. So, you know, and it's never simple when you want to Bing something. It's just like, really, just give me the date and let me know when they're gonna do this. But yeah, just
Dan's favorite, the search engine is not coming through so fast, huh?
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's my computer doesn't help. I know April. April 29th is round one, and then April 30th is 2 and 3, and then May 1st they finish it out. So
we got about a month and a half to wait before the big draft starts.
So, yeah, and then by then, you know, 18 more mock drafts out, and I'm sure – yeah, you know, I just kind of have a feeling that these guys are taking credits for the picks they hit on all their drafts, not just the last one they officially put out. So,
well, we'll be looking forward to that that extravaganza on the 29th.
Yeah, you know, and I still enjoy watching the draft. I mean, the first round bores me because it takes so long, but I do enjoy watching it. So. Hope that looks like that's the way we're going to end our week. Is it's time for you and I to get out of here. And I'll see you again, and I are back Monday and Thursday. So we'll see you later. While we're gone, you know the deal. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for the new blog going up today, tomorrow morning. First of all, you're going to officially need to follow over the Facebook. You go ahead and give that a like if you're over there. Don't forget to put it on the SportsTimeRadio. I'm also on Twitter and on FaceTime if you want to get to that. So, thanks for being that. I did. But if you missed out, you can go on over to 2 and 3. You can listen to anything you want. Have a good weekend.